Well, brethren, I think you're familiar with a proverb that reads, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." That's a wise saying. It's also a warning for us. As Christians, we need to be on guard against an image of ourselves that's inflated or arrogant, actually. Pride is a condition of the human heart and causes us to think more of ourselves than we should. Is it possible we could be puffed up in our minds and our image of ourselves sometimes? Well, I think we know the answer to that. Yes, indeed, it is. And with so many instructions in the scriptures that tell us to take a humble approach and let God raise us up in his time, this is obviously something that God wants us to be very much aware of in ourselves. We each have our place. We each have our place and should not seek first to be honored, but to be humbled. We should not seek first to be honored, but to be humbled. As human beings, we are susceptible to pride and thoughts of pride and vanity, and we have to guard against that tendency in ourselves. It's in our nature to do that. Well, Jesus Christ confronted pride and hypocrisy in his ministry, as we know. Now, let's turn to a place in the Gospels in Luke chapter 14, in one such encounter, where he gave us a lesson on being humble and letting God exalt us in due time. Jesus Christ taught us by example and by word. And here, he teaches us in this parable about how we should look at ourselves and take a humble approach and how we should let God raise us up when the time is right. So let's read this parable. It's in Luke chapter 14, a very familiar one, beginning in verse 7. And so he told a parable to those who were present, or those who were invited. They were at a meal, a Sabbath meal. And he told this parable when he noted how they chose the best places. So what were they doing? They were essentially exalting themselves, taking the best places at this meal, obviously believing themselves worthy of the honor. Well, you know, I'm an important person and I'm going to sit down in the best place. And so he said to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And so this parable paints a picture, and we could put ourselves in that picture. We can see what Christ is telling us. In verse 9, and he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man, and then you begin with shame to take the lower place. And he who invited you come and say, give place, and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. In other words, don't take the best place, the high honor on your own recognition of how good you are, but take the humble, take the low place. As he says, here's the lesson in verse 10. When you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place. So when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. And then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. And this is the parable. This is the right attitude that God wants to see in us, that we first show ourselves worthy of the honor to be called up to the higher place. And he will lift us up. God will lift us up in his time. And practicing this, brethren, is, I'm sure you'll agree, essential for our salvation. And then verse 11. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. God will be the one to show the honor. In this parable, he is the one who invites us to the wedding feast. And the lesson for us is to walk humbly before God and not to have an inflated view of ourselves. So I've taken the title right here from this parable. I think it's in verse 8 or 9. Take the lowest place. That's the title. Take the lowest place. We're going to examine godly humility and how we ought to let God raise us up. Not to promote ourselves, but to let God raise us up. And this parable explains that to us. Now, if we have the right attitude about ourselves, we know that we have no power within ourselves to do any good. And therefore, when we conclude that, we realize we need to be humbled before God because it's not in ourselves to do any good. Then we let God raise us up to the place of honor. God tells us to go and sit in the lower place. Take the lower place. And when it's time, he'll call us higher. We can look at this parable in the context of our lives now. We are in essence, the lowest place. We are in the flesh. We are in this world. And that's the lowest place. But we are going to be called, if we humbly submit to God and his way of life, we are going to be called one day to the high place, to the higher place. In a future time, we'll be called into the glory of his kingdom. We're being invited to a great feast, like this parable talks about this wedding feast and being invited. And he tells us, when you're invited, take the lowest place. Be humble. Come under the direction of the host who invited us. And that is, of course, God himself. Now, perhaps you have been at a wedding where the seating is assigned, where the seating for the reception is prearranged. And the bride and groom have likely put a lot of thought into the seating arrangement. They've decided what families would go together, what people would blend well with others. Perhaps they put that kind of thought in there. And I hope I'm not embarrassing the ones who were married last year in our congregations, but we had two weddings last year, and David and Kayla Rains were married, and they had assigned seating at their wedding. And we found our seat. My wife and I came and we found our seat. And we looked for our name and there we found our seat. Now, if that were you, what's the first thing you do when you find your seat? You look around and say, well, how far am I away from the head table? How far am I away from the head table? And then you ask yourself, like, who's sitting around me? Who have they sat me with? You know. That's what you would think, and that's what actually happens. Now, we had another wedding. David and Kayla were married in May, and then we had the other David and Wester get married to Amanda in September last year. And at their wedding, there was no assigned seating, but it was a very big hall, and there were lots of tables, very long tables, and everybody just sat where they wanted to. If you met somebody there at the wedding, you could sit with them. We had a lot of we just sit wherever we want. So either way, both weddings were wonderful. But this analogy of sitting in the lowest place at the wedding feast, it works on many levels. If we think about it, it works on many levels when it comes to our Christian calling. We must keep in mind, brethren, that we've done nothing of ourselves to earn an invitation to this wedding. God has called us. God's word teaches us when we're called to come under his authority. He tells us to be humble and compliant and let him place us where he sees fit. And then when it is time, he'll raise us up to honor. And you think about this, brethren, that we've been called into the church and we each have our place. And we've been called with the other guests, our brethren. And if you think about this analogy, you know, we are placed where God chooses to put us. Well, many of scriptures instruct us in the proper approach of the way we should see ourselves, having the right self-image, if you will. That is, again, to be humble before God, not thinking of ourselves better than we ought. And Christ used another parable now in Luke to teach this same lesson, that those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. That same lesson in another parable, it's over in Luke chapter 18, another one they're very familiar with, where this man, a tax collector, who thought himself a sinner, came before God. And the parable again shows us that we ought not to be thinking of ourselves better than our actual standing before God. And as we see in the parable, the tax collector understood his place. So here's the first point I'll make, that we need to know our place before God. We need to be very aware, know our place before God. Because when we look at ourselves, brethren, we have to be honest and say, we don't have anything in ourselves to do any good. We don't have it in ourselves. Now, that's not a defeatist attitude. That's just stating the facts. Rather, though, we give God the credit for any good that is in us, any good that we can do. So in this parable in Luke 18, Christ teaches us the same lesson, that those who humble themselves will be exalted. Verse 10. So two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, I thank you, God, that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector over here. I'm not like them. What's he doing? What is he doing here? Well, he's exalting himself. He's exalting himself and telling God how good he is, all the good things he does, not giving God the credits. He says, I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, we could do that too. We could promote our righteous deeds before God and check off all the good things that we do of our own selves. But the tax collector, verse 13, standing afar off, didn't feel like he could even come and approach. It's too close. He stood afar off and would not so as much as raise his eyes to heaven. He's looking down, kind of beating his breast. You can picture that. And said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, he knew his place. He knew what he was. So I tell you, Jesus Christ said, that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And this is the attitude that we need to have, the attitude of this tax collector. We need to know our place before God. The Apostle Paul is another example that we could use, someone who very well understood his place before God. And he acknowledged that in comparison to God's righteousness. He acknowledged what he was like compared to God's righteousness. And you remember what he said, and it's in Romans 7. He said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. It's not there. That's verse 18 of Romans 7. And in a sense, brethren, doesn't this sound like the attitude that Jesus Christ himself also displayed? Now, he was sinless, without sin, but what did he say of himself? I can do of myself nothing. I can of my own self do nothing. That's what he said. As I hear, I judge, he said, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And that's John 5, verse 30. And numerous places throughout the scripture, Christ said words similar to this. Gave the Father credit for the good that was in him. Any good that was in him, he gave the Father credit. And he always humbled himself to the will of the Father. So that's our supreme example. And likewise, you must know your place before God. The second point, let God exalt you in due time. Let God exalt you in due time. Christ's parable of the guest invited to the wedding is very similar to a proverb. That's in Proverbs 25. If you would turn to Proverbs 25. This parable of being invited to the wedding feast and sitting down in the best place is much like this parable of Solomon in Proverbs 25. Look at this with me here in verse 6. It says, verse 6, Proverbs 25, do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the place of the great. Now, here is an example. Now, imagine yourself getting a speeding ticket and walking into the traffic court, and you begin to tell the judge what's what. You're going to tell the judge how it is. And you are very quickly put into your place before all who are in the courtroom. As it says here, don't exalt yourself in the presence of a king, for the king is the authority, not you. It says, do not stand in the place of the great. And the great is God himself. He is the one who's created us, given us life, and is preparing us for eternal salvation. When we look at ourselves in the right understanding, we let God exalt us in due time. And this is what verse 7 says, for it is better that he say to you, come up here, than you should be put in the lower place in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen. Think of this, brethren, in the light of our judgment. When Christ appears and we stand before him, we want to hear him say, like verse 7, come up here. Come up here to the higher place. Inherit the kingdom. Because you have been a humble and faithful servant. It's time for you to receive the honor. Think of that. We want to be in that higher place, the higher place of this honor. And that comes from being called up to that higher place. The honor comes from being called up. So God's words tells us, take the lower place. Now, in the practical application of our lives, we could see this as we don't force the circumstance. We should not force the circumstance and be a self-promoter, because that's going to be seen for what it is. Now, there are certain times, of course, you have to explain the things you do. And for instance, on a job interview, you're being hired, you need to explain to the boss, well, or the hiring manager, that, well, I've done this, you know. But you're not promoting yourself above what you should. That's the lesson for us, not to think higher of ourselves than we ought. As verse 27 here in Proverbs 25 also says, verse 27, it is not good to eat much honey, because if you eat much honey, it is sweet, it does taste good, but you eat too much and you get sick. Your stomach starts to feel terrible. And so to seek one's own glory is not glory. The proverb compares eating too much honey, which is sweet, making you sick, to your stomach, as seeking your own glory. That's not glory. We are called, brethren, to be meek. As Christ said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And we're very familiar with that from the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. Let's look at some Proverbs now. We're in the book of Proverbs. Let's look at some other Proverbs that teach us not to seek our own honor, but to let God raise us up in due time. And as I said earlier, there's a lot of instruction in the scriptures regarding this lesson of not seeking our own glory, but letting God exalt us. Let's go to Proverbs 18. So we're not very far from there. Proverbs 18 and verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. That's what we need to keep in mind. And in the world today, brethren, what do we see mankind doing? We see mankind lifting itself up in defiance of God's law. In some cases, we see utter contempt for authority, for the God-given authority. We see utter contempt for that. That's what we see today. Let's go to Proverbs 22 and see another one. Another proverb here in verse 4. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Even in this life, brethren, blessings come to us for living God's way. They come to us as we humbly submit ourselves to God and live His way of life. Things fall into place for us, and God blesses us by doing His will. And ultimately, will bless us by calling us up to that higher place of glory in His kingdom. One more proverb in chapter 27 of Proverbs. I like this one a lot. In fact, this one I remember from, I believe, way back in my teen years. Somehow this stuck in my head. I didn't read too much of the Bible back in my teen years. But Proverbs 27, verse 2, is one scripture that stuck in my mind, and it really has served me very well. Verse 2 of Proverbs 27, let another man praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. You know, you continue to do good and be humble, people will notice, and they'll say, oh, that's good, you're doing well. But you didn't promote yourself, you just did what needed to be done. So know your place, and let God lift you up in due time. And now let's see, brethren, how a humble attitude in you builds up the church of God. Humble attitude in you builds up the church of God. So let's go now to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at a couple of verses there. These are all familiar verses. Most of them are familiar to us today. Verse 5 of 1 Peter 5. Likewise, you younger people. And I imagine by the time Peter wrote this, most people compared to him were younger. He was elderly at this time. Submit yourselves to your elders, he says. Yes, all of you, be submissive one to another and be clothed with humility. Wear it like a garment. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And therefore, he says, verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And so there's the lesson again. Humble yourselves and let God exalt you in due time. So the third point is your humility edifies the church. Your humility, brethren, each one of ours, edifies the church. And if you want to be great in the church, you know what Jesus Christ said, you must become a servant of all. Humble before all. That's Matthew 23, one place that he said this, verse 11 of Matthew 23. But he who is greatest among you, Christ said, shall be your servant. He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now that's the third time that we read that statement. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We saw it twice in Luke, and we see it again here. All in different contexts of teaching, two different parables, and one instruction here about how to be a servant of all. Obviously, this is very important. for our Christian calling. Otherwise, we wouldn't see so much of this, right? God put it in there for us to look at. A classic example is the Apostle Paul. He was, and even today is, a servant, very great in the church, because his writings serve us so well. And in his lifetime, he was a great servant of the church. But what did he do? He suffered a lot. He became very submissive to all and became a servant of all. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, another familiar scripture, where the Apostle Paul is telling us to not think of ourselves higher than we ought. Verse 3 of Romans 12. For I say, to the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, this is to all of us, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, you know your place, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in the body, all members do not have the same function. Know your place. And so we, verse 5, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. So your humble attitude and not thinking of yourselves higher than you ought keeps the unity in the body of Christ, the church. Another scripture from Paul, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. How our humility keeps unity in the body. Verse 1 of Ephesians 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, now he is in the lowest place. I'm the prisoner of the Lord. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep unity, verse 3, in the bond of peace. Keep the unity in the bond of peace by your humble approach and your humble attitude. And this is the mind of Christ, as Paul also taught us that we needed to have. He said, Philippians 2, we can go over to Philippians 2 for a moment. He told us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. He let go of his glory. He came in the form of a man with no reputation. He was not born into wealth and status, not born into a powerful family, but a poor family. He became as a bondservant in the likeness of men. And he took the lowest place. Set the example for us that we must emulate. So verse 8 of Philippians 2. Being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Remember, brethren, everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. This is what Christ taught. Christ humbled himself to the lowest place. And therefore, verse 9, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So he is in the highest place now. He came, submitted himself to the lowest place. Now he is in the highest place. So know your place before God, brethren. Give him the credit for any good that is in you. And do not exalt yourself before him or others. Let God exalt you in due time. Walk before him in humility. And when it is time, he will say, come up here. And remember that your humility edifies the church of God. Builds it up. Walk worthy of your calling, brethren. As Paul said, with all lowliness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity in the bond of peace. A very beautiful scripture. So when you are invited to a wedding, you come at the bidding of the host. This parable in Luke chapter 14 is for us, brethren, for we are called to the great wedding, the great feast in the kingdom of God. As Christ said, when you are invited, go sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you, God himself, comes again in glory, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. And then you will have glory in the presence of all those who sit at the table with you. So brethren, take the lowest place, as Christ did for our example. Sit down there, and God will exalt you in due time.